past 8 o'clock on a Tuesday morning, and the plumbing boss, Barry Chapman, is back. Nice to see you, Barry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And it's always, you know, we're concerned about a Tuesday morning, because when Barry arrives, anything can happen.
Absolutely anything.
And usually does. So yeah. What's on the show today?
No, so just I thought we would bring in Plumbing Tips Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
Just a one-off event, you know.
Okay.
So we've been noticing over the last couple of weeks that we've been going to clients' houses, and clients have been complaining that the shower pressure is not very good, or there's a funny noise coming from somewhere, which are all pretty good telltale signs that something's going on. Your pressure's fluctuating up and down in your house. So start off with, call it your shower head. Okay. So a lot of people don't actually know that you can very simply just screw off your shower head, and there's a little strainer inside your shower head that can get blocked up.
Okay.
So, and it's little sediments. You get particles that work their way through a water system.
Okay.
There is a very evil thing inside your geyser. A certain geyser manufacturer has a thing called a diffuser or a baffle on the inlet of their geyser. And this is, it basically looks like a big plastic shower head, and it diffuses the, breaks up the velocity of the water as it comes into your geyser. The issue with this is it's made out of a certain plastic that, when it heats up over a number of years, I'm talking 8 to 10 years now, and you get a bit of a water cut in the property or water cut in the area, you have a bit of air that comes through, it breaks that baffle.
Okay, so you could have a damaged shower head without even realizing it.
So, but this is also a very helpful point for you as the homeowner to give information to your plumbing contractor. Because the particles that break off in the baffle floats up to the outlets of the geyser, and it starts blocking your hot water system in your house. So you'll notice, you'll open the cold tap, you'll be like, yay! You'll open the hot tap and you've got a really, really poor flow of water.
Is that on the input or the output side of the geyser?
The output side of the geyser. So the baffle sits inside the geyser. It's either black or white plastic. And if you get a piece of it, little chunk of it, and you squash it in your hand, in your fingers, it turns into a very granular kind of pasty looking product. And because it floats, it gets in everywhere. Gets in your hot water pipes and starts blocking up everything. So you literally got to go into the unit and back flush the entire unit, drain the geyser, empty, put a new baffle into the geyser, and then at the same time we do that, we replace the element, gasket, and thermostat. Seeing as though you at that point servicing it, you might as well do the rest of it.
See, I didn't realize a geyser was a serviceable item.
100%. So you have a sacrificial anode in your geyser. So the sacrificial anode, magnesium, there's a couple of other products that they've made out of, but it sacrifices itself instead of the corrosion and the electrolysis eating away at your geyser. Majority of anodes should be serviced once a year. I've had some clients that are twice a year, but some people don't service them at all, and that's one of the reasons why your geyser bursts, because it's...
So, I had no idea. Yeah. So you should actually schedule a service for your geyser annually.
100%.
And is it an expensive exercise? Maybe that's what puts people off.
It is, unfortunately, because you have to drain the entire geyser. So you're looking at about between 1,800 and 2,200 rand to do drain the geyser, the anode, the gasket, the flange, elements, and the thermostat. Those four components takes about 2.5 to 3 hours to... And the other very sad part is the anodes sometimes rust in place, and you cannot get them out. So you go through all that effort and you cannot get the anode out. But what some people do is they take the anode and they go, don't worry, we can still sort this out. We'll just throw the anode into the inside of the geyser. The problem with that is it's not in contact with the metal parts of the vessel.
So it won't sacrifice.
Does not sacrifice. There's no form of electronic current that runs through it or anything like that. So it's not bonded with the Giza vessel. So it, you can go back there 5 years later and the thing will still look exactly the same.
So now, just to be clear, you would service your Giza irrespective of whether it's giving you obvious problems or not, because you want to extend the life of your Giza. So you're going to be looking at, call it R2,500 as a service. And yeah, if that's an annual deal, you could be in for many times the value of the Giza.
100%. And wow, that's why people don't do it. Yeah. Because it is such a costly exercise to do. But for the longevity of the Giza, and then you go back and you look at the insurance claims, people would rather just leave their Giza and claim from insurance. If you look at the insurance sector and see the thing that's claimed the most throughout the entire industry is Giza claims.
And the damage caused as a result of a burst Giza, which is not inconsequential.
Yeah.
So your top tip is just listen, get a reputable plumber to come in and service your Giza as a matter of course, because it could solve your pressure problem. Probably it will solve your damaging aspects to your Giza problem, and it will give your Giza an extended lifespan.
100%. So we've got a client that we go to. He's pushed us out to every 2 years because his water quality is really not that bad. Every 2 years we go out to his property. He's had the same Giza in his house for 15 years.
Wow.
And it was installed there for a time period I'm not sure of before we started working on that Giza on his property. But he's meticulous. Every 2 years he has it serviced.
Now, if your Giza is located in a ceiling, which is probably where most are, I think, unless my information is incorrect, is it? Can your guys get into the ceiling and service it there, or does the Giza have to be removed?
No, so you service it in place. That's why. So your SANS regulations 10254 is your installation and maintenance of a hot water electric heater. Inside there, it specifies exactly how that Giza is supposed to be installed in a manner that it's easy for accessible for maintenance and replacement. Okay. And it needs to have all the correct overflow pipes and drip trays, and they need to have the correct grade on it. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't install them as per the SANS regulations.
Which is another good reason to get it checked.
100%. So your Giza, you're sitting with this little, I know it's quite negative to say it, but you're sitting with a little ticking time bomb in your ceiling. I personally don't like Gizas inside a ceiling. I prefer them outside. It's got so many working components on it, so I'd rather get it out.
I can understand that it's sometimes just not practical to build your Giza on the outside, I don't suppose. So
also from an element perspective, you know, aesthetics as well. So your roof void is a space that is not really used. And it makes sense to put a geyser in it. Just make sure it gets installed where people are able to access it and make sure it's installed properly.
Mm. Well said, the plumbing boss. And there it is for today. Your top plumbing tip for a Tuesday is check your geyser or get it checked by the experts. It's going to save you, firstly, the drama that comes from having a geyser failure, which is a regular event. Secondly, it could give you much better pressure. Thirdly, it will extend the life of your geyser. 100%. And those are very good reasons why you should be considering seriously giving Barry a call. You'll find Chapman Plumbing pretty much everywhere. I mean, they are the go-to. And not only are they the go-to, they also look after the community by making sure that even on high days and holidays, when everyone else is having a good time, they've still got a maintenance team out there to look after you in the event of an emergency. Barry, thanks, Matt. We'll catch up in a week's time.
Thank you very much.
And the morning show.